This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. That's the greeting of peace. Peace be unto you. Today, we have our special friend, Sheikh Saeed Raga, who is here with us on the Dean Show. And we're going to be talking about good manners, good etiquette. Because you know what? It's easy to be a thug. You want to be a gangster, you want to be a thug, you want to curse, you want to act out of line, that's easy. But how do you get in line? It takes some discipline. That takes a little bit of work. So we're going to get some advice from the Sheikh when we come back here on the Dean Show. Don't go nowhere.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace be unto you.
Peace be unto you.
You're still playing ball?
Absolutely.
Have you ever gotten dunked on? Now be real, you got in Islam, you gotta tell the truth. Has anyone ever coming over and just dunked on you?
Well, probably happened once or twice.
Once or twice.
Once or twice.
So this is
I'm willing to take the charge, you know. I'm willing to go there.
Okay, this is not, you're not an NBA superstar.
I'm not.
But you are someone who is really influential amongst the youth. You play ball, you keep it real, the real deal, but you're not a thug nor a gangster. You're a Muslim, one who has submitted
Absolutely.
To the will
Absolutely.
Of the one God. Why is it easy to be a thug, but it's harder to be disciplined and be righteous? Talk to us, Sheikh.
Well, it's all misunderstanding. I mean, these young people, they listen to this music, they watch these movies, so they think, you know, to be cool, you got to be a thug. You got to be out of line. You got to be using a certain language. You got to walk a certain way. But what they don't understand is walking on the wild side.
Wild side.
Exactly. It's not like this. Now, when you pray in public, now you're walking on the wild side.
When you pray
in public.
That the way of all the prophets.
Absolutely. When you stop shooting the ball and you say, hey, time for salah, now you are walking on the wild side. And you know what's so funny? Because we did this. You know, you almost, you know, winning or losing the game, and it's just a friendly game, and everybody's tense, everybody wants excited, they want to win, or they want, you know, and then you say, no, time for Maghrib. And everybody says, what are you doing? And I say, Allahu Akbar. And they stop dribbling the ball out of respect. Now, when they see you doing this, they say, no, I'm taking my hat off for you. You know, you're a man of principles. You don't have to curse, you don't have to lie, you don't have to, you know, use certain words to impress them. Just being a Muslim, behaving like the prophets, doing what is necessary, that would impress these guys. I'm telling you.
So why do you think many people, they resort to the easy way? Because this way, does it take some influence? Because when you get angry, it's easy to let some foul, dirty language out of your mouth. But is this acceptable in Islam? Is it acceptable for the same tongue that you use to praise the Creator can foul language come out of this mouth?
Any weak person can do this. Any an intelligent individual can say these things. You know, let his anger go, her anger go, you know. But only the elite, only small number of people can suppress that anger, you know, and the behavior in a certain manner, and then deal with the people like that. So I don't think it's necessary for you to use foul language or to be like that, but just be yourself.
Now, taking role models as those who are always using profanity, 50 Cent, Tupac, Britney Spears, all these other pop stars, you got their pictures up in the room, and they're probably using the worst of language, acting the worst of ways. So isn't it natural, if you're taking these as role models, then you're going to probably emulate them, and you're going to start to succumb to what they fell and they're doing.
And that's fine. I mean, if these people are hitting, they're booking the tickets to Jahannam, that's fine. I mean, but if they want to go to Jannah and be with the righteous, be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be with the prophets, this is not the way to go. This is absolutely the wrong direction. They should not be taking these individuals as role models. They should look into what Mus'ab did radiyallahu anhu. They should look into what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud did. When Abu Jahl came and he grabbed him by the ear and picked him by the ear, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud landed with his, on his feet with one ear only. You know, how did he respond? What did he do? This is the people we should take them as a role model, not like these people.
Now, tell us, you mentioned Jannah. Is this something that's the, you know, people get hooked up on Hollywood, Bollywood, and they start to fantasize, and now their heart and their mind and their body is yearning towards this. But you said Jannah. Talk to us a little bit about Jannah. Let's get people excited for Jannah.
Jannah is, see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said through the Messenger of Allah. أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِي مَا لَا عَيْنُ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشْرٍ. Three things. See, the first thing is أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِي, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called you his slave, his servant. And that itself is a title that you should be proud of. Not being proud of you being belonging to this group or that group, but simply by saying, I am one of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the poet, he said, وَمِمَّا زَادَنِي شَرَفًا وَتِيهًا وَكِدْتُ بِأَخْمُسِ أَطَأُ ثُرَيَّ قَوْدُ دُخُولِ تَحْتِ قَوْلِكَ يَا عِبَادِي. He said, what made me so proud, so happy, that you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call me my slave. You call me that I am your slave. So the Messenger of Allah said, أَعْدَتُ الْعِبَادِ, Allah said, I have prepared for my servant, مَا لَا عَيْنُ رَأَتْ, which no eyes have ever seen. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, and no one ever heard of. And now, all the description of Jannah that we have in the Qur'an, in the Sunnah, in comparison on the reality of Jannah, is nothing. You cannot even imagine. Your mind cannot comprehend the beauty and what we have in Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is for the righteous. Now in Jannah is everything that we dream of, everything that we like, everything that we want. And I think we should aim for that rather than aiming for these worldly little things that will vanish tomorrow.
It's going to be gone, right?
Absolutely.
We're going to leave it all behind. No matter how much wealth you accumulate, it's gone at the end.
What matters is what goes down to your grave with you.
What's going to follow down there?
Your amal, your action.
Your actions.
Your deeds.
Good deeds.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned now for the not yet Muslims, those who are out there, they're sincere, they want to know the truth, and we say some Arabic words. So for them, we like to define, because there's a lot of misconceptions. You said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this mean?
Allah, you know, the one who deserves all the praises and thankfulness. So when we say Alhamdulillah, we say all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the words that we use because we respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hold him in high esteem. So every time we mention his name, we say Alhamdulillah or Subhanallah. So all praise is due to Allah, and we glorify him.
So this is not a moon god
or
something in the creation. This is the one true creator.
No. Or a little house in the middle of the desert. Yeah. None of that.
No. So this is the one true creator.
One true creator that we all worship. We don't worship anyone else but
him. Is this the same God Jesus, peace be upon him, pray to?
Absolutely.
Let's take a break. You heard that here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying, man? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come, Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
We're here with Sheikh Saeed, and we're talking about good manners. It's easy to be a thug. It's easy to be a gangster. All you got to do is throw on some of the movies that they out here, and you know what? You get influence. You throw on Tony Soprano, Scarface, Goodfellas, and now you're talking different, you're acting different, and you're being a clown. But that only leads away from Jannah, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It'd be only fair, because the Quran, the verbatim word of God, it calls the people to worship the Creator, not His creation, over and over. It talks about the good and glad tidings of paradise. But if a person is insistent, rebellious, criminal, what is the antithesis, the opposite of what's waiting for that person?
You know, I really don't want to go there.
It's scary.
You know, it's very scary and very difficult place to go. And very, I can't even imagine myself being there.
Wow.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah prevent and may Allah protect us from going there.
Ameen.
But there is no comfort there.
No comfort.
There's no happiness. It's only tears and screams and cries. And I don't want to be part of that party.
No.
I don't. And you know what's so unique? Allah stated in the Quran on the day of judgment that this unique speaker will come and will address the crowd. And this is Shaytan. And he would take the podium and he would say to the people, "Inna Allah, indeed Allah promised you the true promise. And I promise you the false promise. But you disobey your creator and you obeyed me. Today, do not blame me, blame yourselves."
The devil, this is
That's
Shaitan,
devil.
The chief deceiver. He's going to be
and
saying
that
this.
That is the final speech. Nobody's going to speak after that. And this is a place, this is one lecture I don't want to listen to.
I don't
This is one place that I don't want to be. And this is one gathering that I don't want to be part of.
I mean, naturally, if you compare Islam, which is simply the call to acquire peace by submitting your entire will, yourself, to the owner of peace, the creator of the heavens and earth. And a Muslim is one who does the action. So now if you look at what Shaitan, the devil, is calling you to, pornography, swearing, cursing, gambling, alcohol, drugs, and all these things that they don't bring peace and contentment, serenity to the heart, do they?
No, they don't. And what is so unique is when, as soon as you're done with one thing, you want another thing. You know, and this is what the Messenger of Allah said. He said, Jannah. You know, Allah created Jannah and Jahannam, hell and heavens. And then he said to Jibreel, go and take a look at them. And then he went to heaven and he says, oh Allah, no one would ever hear of this except that he or she wants to be part of it, wants to enter paradise. And then Allah said, go back, I added something to it. And then he went, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put all the difficulties and hardship and, you know, little struggle there around heaven. And then Jibreel came back, he said, only the chosen ones would make it. Because when you go through difficulties and you say, only today, let me pass this test. And then you take one more step forward. And then you keep taking steps forward until you fall into Jannah. On the contrary, in Jahannam, hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of desires around it. Pornography, girls, you know, movies, you know, drinking and all this. And he said, just let me enjoy one more time. Let me just smoke this one more time. Let me just have fun with her one more time. So one step towards Jahannam, and before you know it, you're part of it. So that's why it's very scary. And these things that they do, you will never see any of these guys saying that, you know, I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying this. I don't want to get out of it. And that's why all these new Muslims, all these people who accept Islam, you know, Napoleon, you know, all these guys, they could have stayed there. You know, Lewin could have stayed there. You know, this is what everyone wants to go. This is the direction that, you know, everybody or every young man thinks this is the ultimate happiness. But they're running away from it. David Chappelle, he's running away from it. Because they know there is no peace there. There is no happiness. And when you sit with these people who experience and live that lifestyle, they will tell you, listen, we know what it's all about. Don't go there. Don't go there. We just came back from there. And they found peace and happiness in Islam. Not in, you know, drugs and drinking and girls and party and music. None of that. And every time and any time you grab one of these people who are in that business and you ask them, are you happy? They will tell you, I'm miserable.
People seem to get confused, like good time, fun, from happiness. It's different. Pleasure is temporary, and then it has
temporary
side effects, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So happiness is what we really want. Contentment?
That's what we want. And this is what you can get in Islam. Peace of mind, happiness, you know. You come home, you know, subhanAllah, some people say, Brother Saeed, And don't you lose sleep over all these things that's happening in media, you know, people, non-Muslim, or, you know, those are trying to, you know, harm Muslims, you know. And I said, you know, no, I don't worry about those things. Because my heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as this is what I have, I don't care. You know, the other night, this is a funny thing. My wife said, you know, you sleep before your head hits the pillow. I said, no, I don't. She says, you have no worries. You're living this life of this. I said, you know, no, I don't sleep that quick. And she said, I'll time you. You know how long it took me? 2 minutes and 58 seconds.
She timed you, huh?
She timed. Now, I said in the morning, she said, look what you did. I said, you know, there are a lot of people out there would buy this with millions of dollars. A lot of people cannot sleep at night. A lot of people take medication, you know, pills to. And alhamdulillah, why? Because I said to myself, Allah is the one who controls heart. And if my heart's with Allah, nothing matters. If the house is on fire on the other side, I'll still sleep. Because Allah gave me the insurance. Allah gave me the insurance that I will be protected. I don't have to worry about it.
So the youth now, those who have went astray and they're around the bad company and they're living and emulating this life of gangsters and thugs, but now somehow a parent, a friend, they invited him now to watch the Deen show, and they're listening, and you know, the heart, the inside, it's yearning for something, but they're caught in this group. It's not cool to be a good person, but you get praised for being obnoxious, for swearing. How do we get them practical tips to get them away from evil and more towards righteousness?
Number one, listen to your heart and examine your heart. Are you happy? Is there a peace in your heart? Are you feel that, wow, you know, I'm so comfortable in this life. I'm so happy. The answer is no, and we both know that. Second, don't be fooled of what you see, because tomorrow they will walk away from you. Come back to Allah, and Allah will be on your side until you die. And even in your grave, Allah will be on your side, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third, you know, as long as you're in this circle, you will never improve, you will never change, and you will never be a better person. So what I encourage you to do is break out of this circle or this cycle and move forward and be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, did all the messengers of God, including Noah, Abraham, Jesus, peace be upon him, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we talked about the day of judgment, paradise, hellfire, worshiping the one God, not his creator. Did they all call to this way, what we're calling to, and this righteousness, developing yourself to be the best human being that you can
this
be?
This is the message that Adam came with. Then Noah, Abraham, you know, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, all of them one message. And that is to worship one unique God.
One God.
One God. No one else. No father, no son, no daughter, no wife, no mother, no statues, no camels, no cows, none of that. One unique God.
Do I have to put something in front of me and go through this statue or go through, let's say, a dead person in the ground or
Absolutely.
Pray through in the name of Jesus, in the name of Muhammad? Do I have to do any of this?
Absolutely. And what's so beautiful about this is you can go and talk to your Lord directly. You don't need a third party. You need someone to intercede for you. It's you and your Lord. No one else. And this is the beauty of Islam.
That person who's watching now, everything makes sense. But he's right now, I'm telling you, late night, they're catching the Deen show. This person right now, he's smoking a joint. This is the real world. He's smoking a joint, but he's like, I need to change. Can he right now, is there hope for him? If he leaves it, could he beseech God? And could he turn to God and ask God, what's the first step that he needs to do?
Allah is so merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will welcome you any moment that you come back to. Any moment. Regardless of what you did. If you killed someone, if you stole, if you lied, if you used drugs, if you committed all. Allah will forgive and forget all that. As a matter of fact, every bad thing that you did, Allah will transfer that evil deed into good deed. And when you come to Islam or when you repent, everything that you did will be transferred into your good account and you have hasanat to work with. You have good deeds to work with. So I would say, get up, you know, start a new fresh life and move forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Great advice. We'll be right back for more here on The Deen Show.
There'll always be someone that'll be there to say something negative. But at the same time, there'll be someone there to say something positive also. So just hold on to the rope of Allah.
Everything in this universe rely and need Allah.
The Quran says, don't kill women, don't kill children, don't kill the old people, don't attack the civilians. This is what the Prophet Muhammad told us.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that the Prophet never ever start a war against anybody.
If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Deen Show. And we're trying to encourage and invite to goodness and repel the evil. And tell us now, some people, for the not yet Muslims, they feel that Islam is something that encourages violence, that encourages terrorism, that Islam is radical. What do you got to say about this?
I feel sorry for those people who were misinformed about Islam. If they really read Islam, about Islam, they will find that none of these is true. As a matter of fact, the Messenger of Allah had neighbors who were not Muslim. Messenger of Allah used to accept the invitation of non-Muslim. Never in his life that he said, I don't want to come to you because you're not Muslim. I don't want to deal with you because you're not Muslim yet. I don't want to come to your house because you're not for my faith. As a matter of fact, he used to entertain every invitation that was ever given to him from a non-Muslim. Not only that, he used to take care of them. If they're sick, he would go and visit them. If they're in need, he would take care of their need, and so on. So these people who are writing about Islam, sometimes I ask myself, what religion are they talking about? Because this is not my religion. Whatever they're talking about, it's not in Islam. So my advice to anyone who's watching here is, listen, you're a very intelligent person. Use your own mind. Go out there, read the Quran, read the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read what Islam is all about. And do not follow what these people try to say about Islam, who do not know anything about Islam.
So it's clear. We've done shows on this in the past, but we just want people to relax a little bit. A Muslim might have got his non-Muslim friend, and now they heard Islam, a Muslim, they think, whoa, something's going on here. There might be something blowing up. They might have bombs in the masjid. Your mosque, that you're the imam, do you encourage people to come and to visit you there, no matter what faith, to come and dialogue, to talk with you, to see what's going on?
Absolutely. I invite everyone. I invite them to my mosque. I invite them to this conference. I invite them to my house, my neighbors, and say, listen, what do you think about me? What do you think about us? You want to see how we pray? Do you want to see what we do in the mosque? This is all yours. It's open doors, and it's open policy. If you see something, please, then tell us. So every time they come and visit us, they say, well, I'm shocked. This is not the Islam that I heard about. This is not what these groups said about, this is not the Islam they're talking about. This is a completely different thing. So most of the time they go out and they accept Islam. Or they go out of the masjid with a positive image. So I'm asking the non-Muslim, take that opportunity, go to a mosque, go to Islamic events, go to a Muslims, and examine the situation. You ask the question, you talk to them, and then you will see a completely different image of Islam.
In the last few moments that we have, back to the youth now, what closing comments and advice do you have for those youth that are struggling with all the different trials that are out there, but they want to not succumb to that, they want to come to the right way, but they just need a little extra push?
There's only one way, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing will save you with this miserable life that you're living. Nothing will save you with this, you know, difficult thing, time that you're going through. No one can save you but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So return and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't worry about anything else. And Allah is there for you.
Thank you. May God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah reward you again for being with us. And thank you for tuning in again to another episode of The Deen Show, where we're trying to invite to everything that's good. And you got the advice from the imam, from the sheikh, that turn to who? Turn to the one creator, the same God that Jesus, peace be upon him, turned to. The same God that Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger sent to mankind, turn to. Beseech his help. He created this whole universe and everything in it. And what can he do? If he did all that, definitely he can help you. It's that simple. It's that easy. But you got to want it. You got to want to change. You got to want his help. Beseech him. He will definitely help you. And come back here every week to The Deen Show. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave danger. Worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There is none greater.